If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference, this show is for you.
Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
I started becoming really aware of how that brainstorming was feeling in my own mind. So I started feeling the streaming of ideas. So I decided to try to translate that into something physical, like an enlarged nervous system that you can actually walk inside of.
And in fact, that's what we're hearing right now. I'm hearing a heartbeat. I've heard birds chirping. I've heard what sounds like wind listening to it. It's been pretty amazing.
Contemporary light and shadow artist Claudia Bueno describes her art as turning creative ideas into tangible pieces that awaken curiosity and spark dialogues. Claudia has lived and exhibited her work in Malaysia, Switzerland, and the U.S., in addition to her native Venezuela. In May of this year, Claudia brought a unique and beautiful room-sized installation called Fiber Space to Maker City in Los Angeles.
Claudia, would you start your story for me at the very beginning? How did you first get inspired that art was what you really wanted to do?
Wow, well, that's a question with a very long answer. Since I was little, I was raised in a house full of creativity. My mom's an artist, and she had her art studio, and she was doing sculpture, painting, designing, all kinds of media. And I just remember, like, that was my fun, that was my freedom to spend my time there, helping her out or, like, doing our own projects. We would do masks and sets for playing with puppets and all kinds of fun creative projects with a lot of different materials. So all along, I was in contact with this. And it was very clear, like, when I reached high school that I was going to go this way. I didn't know if it was going to be design or architecture or but something related to arts. And in the end, I visited an art school, the only one we have in Venezuela, my home country. And I just loved what I saw around. I loved seeing all the students with their cubicles where they were just creating their own little worlds full of their own creativity and just decided to pursue it. That's how it happened.
How did you actually choose the language, as you've called it, in which you communicate your artwork now, sound, light, and technology?
All right. So, well, that was a kind of a long process because I was working with painting and sculpture and drawing, so more traditional media. But then when I was on my fourth year of university, I was able to go to Spain for a year abroad. And there I got in contact with technology. I found myself working in set design and animation, so movement and light were integrated into my creative process. And I really liked what I was able to do with that, how I could transform spaces and create all of these interesting visual effects and experiences. So I just got deepened into that search, and through months of experimenting and years after that, it became my main media, my main language, which is what I'm using today.
You make it seem so simple with Fiber Space, and I'll bet it wasn't. Tell me about some of the experiments that did work and some that did not, please.
Well, this whole show was kind of accidental, the shape that it took. It wasn't really planned. I was given a very interesting space in a gallery in Malaysia where I was living at the moment. And the space had certain features that called for a site-specific installation. And the gallery was going to back me up in whatever concept I came up with. They gave me total freedom in what I wanted to do. So I started researching and just thinking, like, how can I fill up the space, understanding the features of the space, the flow of the people who visit the space, the history of the space, and, like, trying to link all of that together into something that would be cohesive with the space itself. So in the process of brainstorming what I could do to create a site-specific installation here, I started becoming really aware of how that brainstorming was feeling in my own mind. So it was interesting because I was trying to find inspiration outside for something to create there. And it ended up that the inspiration became from my own mind as I was brainstorming. So I started feeling the streaming of ideas, the flashes of thoughts coming in and out and crisscrossing. And so I just became aware of my brain activity, my brain dynamics, the way I was thinking, and how this excitement for a new project, a new idea had, like, really taken over, and I could feel it in my body, in my system. So I decided to explore that and learn a little bit about neuroscience and the nervous system and the impulses that run through our body and keep us wired. And I was finding all of these images that were really interesting, visually stunning. They had a lot of potential for where they could go. And I decided I wanted to try to translate that into something physical, like an enlarged nervous system that you can actually walk inside of. And so then the whole challenge was, well, how can I build this? How can I create it? I had the concept solid. I liked the idea. I knew how I wanted it to look, but how can I build it? So I started experimenting and dipping thread, cotton thread, in resin so that I could create these patterns that had curves and organic shapes. When you hang a thread, it naturally hangs in a straight line, and that wouldn't work out for me, but I wanted to create this thread network with curves. So the resin allowed me to dip the thread, shape it with these molds that I created, and I would crisscross all of the thread as the resin was still liquid, and then the next day it would harden and all the thread would become hard and hold together as a web, kind of. So I created all of these webs, and they come together as a giant puzzle inside of the installation here. It comes apart and it's maybe 25, 30 pieces. I haven't really counted them, but it can be assembled in different ways according to the space that's given to it. So, well, the experimentation that you were asking about, this all sounds like an easy formula as I describe it, but there were a lot of hiccups along the way because, you know, just finding the right materials with the right thread and the right timing. And we were working in Malaysia. My husband was helping me out. Malaysia is extremely hot, and this work had to be done outdoors because it's toxic. The resin has chemicals and they create a reaction. That's what makes it harden, and it would really smell, and it's not good to breathe it. So you have to be outdoors. And then it turned out that I became allergic to the resin, and I would get my eyes all swollen and a skin reaction. So I had to order a fully sealed chemical suit to protect my skin and everything. I had to be absolutely sealed up and covered. And I ordered this big mask with the two respirator, the filters. And I tried to do that outside in Malaysia, and I would overheat in a second because the suit, it's not letting anything in, but it's not letting your own body heat out either. So I would get dizzy, I couldn't do it. So then I had to come up with a system where I would wear backpacks full of ice inside of the chemical suit, and the ice would melt as I was working, and it would drip inside of the suit and kind of keep me sort of cool. I mean, more manageable than cool. And that's how I worked, and my husband too. We both suited up every time for 2, 3, 4 hours each time, because as soon as the ice melted, that was it. We had to stop. And it was really intensive. Like, it was not comfortable to work this way. We were creating really fine work. As you can see, the thread are very thin, and there's patterns that are thought out the way that the thread is lined and crosses each other. And to work in a suit with ice inside and a mask and gloves was really, really a challenge, a physical challenge. And yeah, just interesting how, like, ironic, like, I became allergic to my own art, and then what solution I had to come up with to be able to finish it.
If you could only work 2 hours at a time, what are we talking about in terms of from start to end time commitment to create fiber space?
Well, the whole project from concept to being in the gallery the day of the opening ready for exposure, that took 6 months, full time, my time, like full time. But of course, a lot of that was just research in the beginning. Just the whole initial phase is brainstorming and sketching, drawing, experimenting in the studio. Like, as the concept starts to define itself, you start exploring different things to make it happen. So that takes a very long time. I would say at least 3 months I gave myself this time for this. And then finally I had the right formula, like from step one to step the last step. I knew exactly what I needed, so I went out and bought all the materials, set up the space. And so actually working on the suit, like with the suits on the web, the final sculpture that you see here, that was about 2 months of going in pretty much almost every day for, you know, an hour suiting up and getting everything ready, and then 2, 3, or 4, depending on the day, actually working on it, and then another hour cleaning up and putting everything back in place because there was a lot of prep and cleaning that had to be done every day. So yeah, it was a lot of work.
When you chose your light patterns and the sound to go with the installation you made, how did you come up with that and with the rhythms that you're going to have for the different light patterns and motions?
That's where I had a creative collaboration with two teams. One of them is TKSH Films, and they're a filmmaker, a film creative company based in Barcelona, Spain. So I went to them and I said, this is what I want to create. I had done some experiments in my own studio, filming like matches burning and projecting them. And so I knew what I wanted to accomplish visually, but I didn't know how to film it. So they came in and helped me experiment and do the right setup to film these effects. So we came up with a cycle of three different moments. One is white and it's water. We filmed water ripples with lights. So they were filmed in the dark and the lights were hitting on the little waves that we were creating. So it was almost like body action because we were two people creating waves in different patterns, and the main person directing the whole thing, he would tell us like, okay, waves from the right, now do waves from the left side, now together, now faster, now blow bubbles. So we had like a hose going in the water tank and we're both blowing bubbles. And so he was like directing this orchestra, you know, of just playing with water. And that's what created all the different rhythms. And even though it's all white and it's all water, it has many moments within itself. Moments that are calmer or quicker or like flashes going all over the place and little sparks. So we wanted richness and variety, but we also wanted a cohesive rhythm to it because it's meant to be a pulsating thing that lives here. So it had to breathe and had a pulse and a beat and, you know, sort of like a flow to it. So that's one. Then we filmed fire. We filmed charcoal with wind, and we were pumping wind into this big mess of charcoal that we had, and the sparks are flying all over the place and we wanted more sparks. So then, you know, finding ways, okay, how can we film more sparks and less charcoal? And you know, these things come along and they were very exciting. They were fun things to film. It was like playing, you know, it was this challenging, okay, how do we accomplish that? Oh wow, this sort of little accident happened on the side. Well, now let's create more accidents like that because that looked good. And so it was very interesting that way. And then there was a third moment where we played with blue flames with burning alcohol and sort of like a rhythm that's more steady, like strokes coming in from one side, more legible, I would say, less scattered, more like flashes coming in, turning off, flashes coming in, turning off. So that's the visual part. Then the sound was another collaboration with Audioband. They're also based in Barcelona. And I told them that what I envisioned for this was sort of like how it would feel for a baby inside of the womb. So, because I wanted to always have that element of organic flow, living, pulsating. And so, you know, I can just picture like being inside of your own body would feel, you'd hear breathing, but you would also feel like how things sound underwater or when you cover your ears. So I, you know, wrote down a list of elements that I would like to integrate into the sound, and then they had to find a way to record those sounds, recreate those sounds, and kind of match the sounds with the video that's projected on it and create something that was one.
And in fact, that's what we're hearing right now. I'm hearing a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Right behind us, I've heard birds chirping. I've heard what sounds like wind listening to it. It's been pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What did you learn about yourself as an artist in creating Fiber Space?
I think for me, there were several things I learned. One of them was, and a very important one, that this piece clearly told me that the piece itself reaches a point where it starts talking to you, and you as an artist have to be kind of open to picking up the hints that happen along the way. You have a vision, you're trying to pursue a project and accomplish your vision, but there's things that happen that are unplanned or things you didn't think of. And sometimes those things can be bad and you need to get rid of them, but other times those things are really important keys to where the art can go and get enriched. So if you're aware of that, if you're open for that, and you're not so fixated on the final version that you want to accomplish. If you're able to see what's happening along the way, you create an open dialogue with that creature that you're creating yourself, but it reaches a point where it's like it gains its own autonomy. And so this was very important for me because there were a lot of accidents that happened that actually enriched the piece. And once I saw them, I actually started making them intentionally because they were good for the piece. They created better visual textures and richness.
Claudia explained one of the happy accidents that occurred in the creation of Fiberspace.
I knew I wanted to work in the beginning, early stages of Fiberspace. I knew I wanted to work with fire because the gallery where it was going to be shown had burned down in the past. And so it was part of the history of this place. And I found it very interesting because they renovated the whole place and they left burnt pillars intentionally, visually there, because they wanted to keep the memory of what happened. So you walk in the gallery and you still see some burnt parts. So I wanted to link that, somehow like do something that was linked to the space. So I knew I wanted the element of fire and I knew I wanted it to be sort of like nervous system-like, but the main accident that happened was I was cutting out this paper and I caught this big volume of really intricate shapes in paper and I hung it from the ceiling in my house and then I projected a video of matches that were burning in a domino effect that I had filmed. And the experiment didn't work at all. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't gonna work. I was pretty disappointed because that was 1 week of cutting paper intensively. But the paper was hung by one thread that I used to hang it from the ceiling and the projection hit the thread and the fire looked like it was fire traveling through the thread. So I looked at that and I couldn't believe it. I mean, that was just like an epiphany, like, wow, okay, this experiment didn't work, but look at that. So that was totally unplanned, but it's really what built Fiberspace because I focused on that thread and how I could work with thread and create effects as if there were sparks of fire traveling through these threads. So that's a big one.
Claudia also explored the other lessons she had learned as an artist from creating Fiberspace.
It's extremely important to allow the work to mature. Like this time, I had 6 months to do the work. And it sounds like a lot, but it comes to crunch time also. You know, no matter how much you try to plan it, when you're working with something so large. And in Malaysia originally, it was three floors high in the gallery. So it was quite a large project, the largest I've ever done. But those 6 months allowed me to like take my time to really mature the idea and experiment so much that I could perfect the technique. And I think it was really important for me to see how much better results are when you allow yourself this time. A lot of times you have 3 months to finish up a couple pieces and you don't have the time to really research, so you just jump into building it right away and it causes more obstacles along the way that way. So I think for the next one, I'm gonna try and make sure that I have enough time.
Now, when you say for the next one, after you create something like Fiberspace, what is next?
Well, ideas are there. I have tons of ideas of giant installations that I wanna build and I'm super excited about. But these projects require funding, they require sponsors, they require a team of people backing it up. I mean, it's not just me and my husband, we work together, but they're large and complex. And so it takes time to get all the pieces from the puzzle fit together and the right space, the right sponsoring, the right people supporting it, the right press promoting it. So I don't know when they'll happen, but I'll keep, you know, doing what I do, which is going to my studio and creating more and like pushing myself further and further each time. And as soon as the opportunity comes, I hope that we can take it and create like the new, even larger installation in every way for me.
If our listeners would like to support what you're doing, get in touch with you or find out about upcoming shows or anything, how do they do that?
Well, they can get on my website. It's claudiabueno.com, C-L-A-U-D-I-A. Bueno is B-U-E-N-O. I actually pronounce my name Claudia, but here, for easier understanding, people say Claudia. So yeah, through there, we'll always keep updating what's coming up next. And hopefully something cool will be coming up soon.
And finally, Claudia, I'll try to say it correctly this time. If you could only have people take one thing away about innovating, creating, or making a difference from the experience you have had with making Fiberspace, you've said be patient, you've said listen to your work, you've said take the time. What else would you want them to get from your experience that they can use in their own creative projects?
I would say just think large, think big, like no limits. Just let your imagination go and get lost, which is what happened in Fiberspace. People make fun of me because they say, when they visit it, they say, I was in your brain. And for me, it's kind of my brain that took over myself and took over my whole studio and then took over the whole gallery. And it's that, you know, it's that what it's showing is my brain getting lost in ideas, in excitement, in new innovative things. And so I hope people take those risks too and support us who take them as well.
Claudia, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
You and I have been listening to contemporary light and shadow artist Claudia Bueno. You'll find photos of her solo exhibition work, including her recent Fiberspace installation, on her website, claudiabueno.com. That's Claudia, C-L-A-U-D-I-A, Bueno, B-U-E-N-O.com.
And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's TWOMAVERIX.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.